Another year of Encourage Men. Good to be with you this morning. We've been traveling quite a bit and on the go a lot, so we missed a few. And then we had an almost weather cancellation. If we would have known, we wouldn't have canceled. But the weather forecast that we looked at said that the snow and freezing rain was going to start somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning. And we had one of those a year or so ago that was sort of miserable. And we decided that maybe we'd make that judgment call. Well, in retrospect, we wouldn't have needed to. Before we get going into the teaching, just a few things. I just believe so strongly that we need to do everything we can as the church to prevent problems. And so one of the ways that we've been doing for the last 3 years, this is the third year we're doing, it's called a Preparing for Marriage Weekend, and it's also Preparing for and Building Marriage Weekend. So it's open for couples who might be struggling. It's open for singles from 16 and older so that they have the information needed. But there's brochures. There's some back there in the back. Also, we have some extra ones here somewhere. I don't know what I did with them. Okay, there they are. Okay, I'm going to put them on the front bench here. If you would like to take some along and take them to your fellowship, they're on the floor up here. Okay? So, anyway. We just believe that we can prevent a lot of heartaches. I think 90% of marriage problems can be prevented. The other 5, the other 10, you have to really get to know each other. But we're going to do our best to help couples know what marriage is all about. It is so big. You know, if we could only understand and grasp how important marriage is. It is huge because Satan wants to destroy marriages. And if he can destroy marriages, he's destroying the very analogy and type that God gives to show the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. We are the bride of Christ. He's the groom. And one of the things that we did not deal with as we look at the theme, Knowing Father, one of the themes we should have covered is who is God as our groom? Because that's a whole other picture that we didn't look at this year. The other thing is, we're already excited about next year. I'd like to give you just a little bit of a preview. At our home fellowship, we are doing a series. It's called Valiant Man. Okay, and this it's a video series. We are not going to do a video series for Encourage Men. Okay, I don't want to see that happen. Okay, but we're doing that as a video series there. I'm very impressed with it, very impressed. It talks about men dealing with porn, dealing with sexual integrity, and guys, I think you all realize there's a huge problem out there, okay? And we don't want encouraged men to always be looking at that subject continually, but what we would like to do next year is focus on sexual integrity through relationship with the living God. I am very impressed with what this material is. We'll probably be using this handbook, but we're going to be using PowerPoint that we put together, as well as I'll probably be doing the majority of the teaching. But it'll be shorter than this year. We're not quite sure how many sessions, but it won't be 20. This year it was 20. But I guess I see that this is where the battle is raging. Satan is attacking our sexuality, and it is defaming, it is profaning the sacred. If we could understand that sexuality is God's gift to show the kind of relationship he wants to have with us, total intimacy. And when he can destroy that, when he can damage that in an early age, he can just wreak havoc among our people, and he is. Porn is epidemic in the conservative Anabaptist people. I'm telling you it is. Marriage problems are heavy. I had a very he's no longer conservative, but I had a young man, he's getting up there, but he's single. He just said recently, why should I get married? He says, I look around, I don't see any happy marriages. And I'm just telling you. We've got to change some things. Is marriage hard work? It's hard work. It's why homosexuality is getting crazy. It's because a man knows how to please a man, a woman knows how to please a woman. And it takes a lot of knowledge and it takes a lot of work. But God wants it that way. Okay, because it is the type of relationship he wants to have with us. We are the bride. He is the groom. And when it talks about in Ephesians 5, how that we're to know each other and we're to get to know each other as husbands and wives, he says, but I'm really talking about Christ and the church. You see, marriage is important. And sexuality is hugely important. So I've been communicating with this man. He's from Australia. And I've been communicating by email. I'm pretty excited about that. He gave permission for us to buy the program and turn it into teaching for here. And I'm so blessed. So what we want to do is we want to put together a brochure similar to this, only as and we're just asking you, if you want to get the word out there, we'll probably start at about the same time. It's about the second or third weekend in September next year. It'll be a little bit shorter, but it is going to really focus on sexual integrity in a relationship with God. So it is going to be encouraged men, and it's going to have a valiant man focus. Just that's a preview, all right? Now, our theme this winter has been relationship with God, knowing Father. And so this morning, I would like to share something with you that, wow, I've been on a journey, and I'm working on a series at our home congregation right now. And the power of choice, living by his spirit out of our spirit. So it's going to be, you're going to get a sort of a brief picture of this. But I'm seeing things that I never saw before. And I want to see if I can share my heart with you this morning. Look what Jesus says. You know, first of all, let's go back. Living by his spirit out of our spirit. One of the questions that we're looking at in our doing our series, and we can only just bump on it this morning, is who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Is he some kind of power that we got to get into some kind of special worship and mood to have him present and have him do something in our lives? You know, Jesus calls him he. He is a person. He is God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have this Trinity, which is so hard for us to explain. We talked about it a few weeks ago, and theologians have come up with the word perichoresis. Three oneness together and yet separate beings. Father is God. Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. But there are three persons. And one of those persons is the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to live out of his spirit, live by his spirit out of our spirit. So what does that look like? Let's see if we can talk about it this morning. Jesus says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Now we're talking about, here's the Son talking, and he's saying the Father has promised, stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The Father has promised power from on high. What does that look like? In John 14, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You see, God isn't this, we talked about what God is as Father. We also saw that if a father loves his children, he will discipline them. That Hebrews tells us that. And no discipline seems pleasant at the moment, but it works out the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Okay? And so here he's saying, if you love me, you will obey what I command. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So it's important for God's people to walk in obedience to his word. So he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And see, the obedience is out of love. It's not out of force. It's not out of demand. It's out of love, to realize how loved we are. And I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That word counselor is fascinating. It's perichoresis. No, it's not perichoresis. It's paraclete. Got my words mixed up. It's paraclete. It's sort of this, para means to come alongside of. You ever hear of paralegals? How about you've heard of a parachute? Well, parachute needs to be part of you when you jump out of an airplane. Okay, if it's not part of you, you're going to splat. Okay, and so it becomes part of you. You become part of that parachute. Okay, and it controls your descent. And here it says he's going to give you the paraclete, and the clete part of that means a teacher, a counselor, a comforter. I mean, it is huge. It's very well rounded. So this this being, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. It also says it's the Spirit of Life. It's the Spirit of Revelation. It's the spirit of wisdom. You see, the spirit is so multifaceted. And you can't separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're one, and yet they have three distinct activities that they do. Now, look what it says. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him. So here's Jesus calling the Holy Spirit him. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Okay. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. Do you know the Holy Spirit? You know him, for he lives with you, paraclete, and will be in you. That is the whole concept of oneness. Two shall become one. Three are one, and we are to become one with him. Wow. On that day, this is continuing, these scriptures are going to continue here in John. On that day, you will realize, on the day that he sends the Comforter, the day that he sends the Counselor, the day that he sends the power from on high, you will realize, now look what it says here, I am in my Father, you are in me, he's talking about us, and I am in you. Now it says not only the power and the Holy Spirit is there, but this is Jesus talking, I am in you. You see how you can't separate the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's beyond my comprehension. If there's a question that I have to ask God, it's probably going to be on this one. Because it's beyond my comprehension. Look what he says here. If anyone loves me, once again, it goes back here, he'll obey my teaching. This is a continuation of this passage. My Father will love him. And now look what it says. And we will come to him. And look what it says. Do you see what it says? This is God's word. This isn't Jason's words. Did you know that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible? Holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, these words that I speak to you, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. See, it's the spirit of life. You see, the Holy Spirit wrote our Bible. So when you read the word, the living word, the Bible is a living word. It's unlike any other book. You are reading the words of the Holy Spirit. And they're alive. You've been born of the Spirit. But it also says you've been born of the Word. You see, this is, I guess what I'm seeing is, I'm seeing this oneness. It is beyond my comprehension. And I'm getting pumped about it. Because I believe that when we understand it, when we see it, we start seeing what it is going to take for us to become one with Him so that we will have the power to live victoriously. He who does, my Father will love him, and we will come into him and make our home with. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that? You have been bought with a price. You are not your own. Why? Because he paid for your body with his blood so that he can come in and dwell in that temple. Does that give you value? Oh my goodness. My body is the temple of the living God. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are going to indwell me. They're going to live in me. Wow. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. You see these different Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet they're one and... Wow. But you see the importance of obedience? Obedience out of love instead of out of force and demand? But he says, if you love me, you obey me. But if you don't love me, you won't obey my teaching. So if you're walking in disobedience, it really means you don't love Jesus. It means you don't love the Lord. Now, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the paraclete, counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We're going to look at some diagrams. You've seen them maybe before if you've been here for a number of years, but these diagrams are going to be important. But I thought we have to establish some scriptural foundations so that the diagrams make sense. But he says here, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that Jesus has said to them. I will continue to make you known that the love you have for me, this is John 17 now, he's talking to his father, that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself will be in them. You see what Jesus is saying? When we by faith accept the blood and the death and as atonement for our sins, and we recognize him as our Savior and Lord, now he gives you the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, with the Father, comes and dwells in you, and you become one with him. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. Did you ever, for Sunday dinner, invite the bishop over? Or somebody that you really thought a lot of for dinner on Sunday? Maybe it happened when you were children. Do you ever think that, did mom really want the house looking good? And you maybe had to help clean? We didn't have any sisters, so we had to help clean. Okay. And then when they come and you sit, oh, the table's everything right. Everything in the house looks good, right? And then everybody is on their best behavior, including mom and dad. They don't look strange at each other. They don't use sharp words with each other. They're just sweet. And they expect you as sitting at the table to be sweet. And to have good manners, to say please and thank you. Okay. After they leave, what does it look like? Now, stop and think about it. You would do that for the bishop? What if we would get a sense that the glorious Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were always present within us? Do you understand the implications of this? Would you look at what you look at, knowing what we've been talking about here? That Jesus is dwelling in you, the Father is with you, he is part of you, the Holy Spirit is there. This is the most important guest, and your body is where he comes to live. It should look a lot better in your house than when the bishop came, right? You see, when we get it, that when I'm ready to click on something I shouldn't click on, that Jesus is actually inside of me, and he is there, and he's present with me, and the God himself is in me, dwelling in me, and I'm going to look at this, and he's going to look at it with me. And I'm going to go into this place, and God is going in there with me. You see, inside of us, there's these two forces that are warring. Romans 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I should do, I don't do. Who will deliver me from this body of flesh? Thanks be unto God. It is through Jesus Christ. See, Paul understood that what delivered him was understanding that Jesus now was in control of his life, totally and completely. And the things that he would normally do, he turned around and he went a different direction. Are you with me? I'm starting to just get a little glimpse of what it means to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the living God. Oh, I want the fullness of God dwelling in me. Don't you know that God's Spirit lives in you? Do you know that? Paul loves to ask that question. Don't you know? What does it mean to be born again? This struck me. What does it mean to be born again? It's a loose term that we get tossed around there in our ultra-conservative groups. I never really, it wasn't something we heard a lot about as a child, because everybody out there has been born again, right? Sort of makes you disgust it with the term born again, but Jesus uses it. What does it mean to be born again? I don't think the world understands when they use born again, they don't understand what born again is. Here's what I started seeing. To be born again, how were you born in the first place? How were you born in the first place? Mommy and daddy did something. And you have a daddy who passes DNA on to you. And you are a lot like your daddy. And he had a fallen sin nature, and you have a fallen sin nature. When we are born again, guess what happens? We get a new daddy. That's what this whole year's been about, getting to know who Father is. We get a new Father. Do you know what that means? That inside of you, you now get a new DNA. You get your DNA changed. You get a spiritual DNA. We don't just believe truth. We don't just speak truth. We just don't do truth. We are truth. Why? Because I no longer live. This is Paul. I no longer, and I think this is what we have to get. I no longer live. Jason shouldn't no longer live, but Jesus who lives within me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And what did Christ say about himself? I am what? The way? I am the truth? I am the life. And if he's living in me, now I know I don't just do those things. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am not God, but I take on his nature because he dwells within me. And we understand that when we choose to live by the Spirit, see, that's the whole, the power of choice. We must choose. And if we don't choose, the default is to live out of the old nature. We have to choose. And every day we will make choices. I am faced with choices multiple times a day. Will I look at that? Will I go here? Will I click on that? Will I think this? Will I read this? I have choices to make every day. And if Christ lives in me and I am living out of my Spirit, I will make the choices out of the living God. Are you with me? Look what Romans 8, after the mess of Romans 7 that Paul's crying out and going, oh, wretched man that I am. But thanks be unto God, he says, now therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, we have a choice. I can walk after the flesh, or I can walk after the Spirit. Because both dwell in me. And in my flesh dwells no good thing. But in the Spirit is life, peace, joy, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Because the Holy Spirit has fruit. And so the fruit needs to come out in me. And when the fruit isn't coming out of me, I am not living by the Spirit. I am living by the flesh. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, he is the Spirit of life, set me free from the law of sin and death. Do you see that? See, now if we choose to live out of the Spirit of life, it sets us free from the law of sin and death. But if we are disobedient and we choose to live by the flesh, we have no assurance. I believe in eternal security. As long as we live in the Spirit, we are eternally secure. But when I choose to walk in the flesh, now I walk after death. And now I no longer am secure. It's sort of conditional eternal security. I choose. I choose. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the sinful nature desires. Those who live on their accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Do you understand what it takes? It takes a mindset. It takes a mindset. I must choose, and it happens up here to choose to live out of his Spirit in me, out of my Spirit. We're going to go to this, okay? Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, look at this carefully. Look at this carefully. I was chewing on this early this morning. The alarm didn't have to go off this morning. It was 3-something. And I go, okay, let's start looking at some things. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit of man? Your Spirit knows what's going on inside of you. I don't know what's going on inside of you. Your Spirit does. I don't. I can't tell what's going on inside of Brunel. He knows. Sort of. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now listen, get this. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Right? You got this? The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. Jason's Spirit knows the thoughts of man. Now look what comes next. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You see, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You see, when his Spirit comes in, now my Spirit knows what's going on in here. His Spirit knows the thoughts of God. Now when he comes in, now I know the thoughts of God. You got it? You understand that? His Spirit bears witness us. Now I know the thoughts of God. All right, see, now we can go into the diagrams, I think. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. But you see, we have to be living out of the Spirit. Are you with me? I'm sorry, I don't know, I feel so inadequate to communicate it, but I'm a little bit excited about it. You can't tell, I know. Okay. Ephesians 3, look what Ephesians 3 says. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power. He may strengthen you with power through his Spirit, out of his glorious riches. You know God owns everything. And out of his glorious riches, he's going to give us his, he's going to strengthen us with his power when we tap into it. Through his Spirit in your inner being. Ooh, see? His Spirit in our inner being. He dwells in here. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Oh, you see, the Holy Spirit's here. Christ's here. Father's here. He's all here. God dwells in us when we walk after the Spirit. And we walk in obedience. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. May have power. He says he may strengthen you with power. May have power to grasp how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Do you realize how loved you are? That's what we've been trying to communicate this year. You are so loved that he wants to become one with you so that his Holy Spirit will give you that power from on high that he promised. Wow. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You with me? Isn't that exciting? Can we get it? I don't know. I can only get it this much, and I want to get it this much. Let's just stop. Let's just ask the Father for this. Can we? Let's just stop right now. Father, Father, Father. Father, out of your glorious riches, would you strengthen us with power that we might be able to grasp how loved we are? So that we could receive all, filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, Father, would the power of your Holy Spirit, the love of our Savior, and your total completeness dwell in us. Would you do that? Would you fill us this morning? Would you? You're already here. You're already within us. But, Father, rarely do we tap into this power. Would you help us? Would you renew our minds so that we can tap into the power that you are giving us and you want to give us? Thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, so that. Oh, I go after those so that's that, okay? The cause and effect. We're incredibly complex beings. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. We're created in the image of our Maker. Spirit, soul, and body is who we are. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at a few diagrams here. We are spirit. Here's our spirit and our soul. The spirit's in the very center of us. This is Jason's goofy diagrams to try and explain how we process information, okay? So there's our mind. Our mind and our will and our emotions. Our mind is divided into two parts, okay? Our mind is divided into our conscious, where we think and reason. This morning, we're thinking and reasoning. We've taught this before, but once again, after we looked at the first part of this, this starts making more sense even to me. Then our conscious and thinking and reasoning connects with our will. We think, and now we choose, right? Isn't that how we do it? We make decisions. Our subconscious mind is where our memory is. Did you know that you are your memory? You are your memory. If you lost your memory, you wouldn't know who you are. If you got banged in your head this morning here, you wouldn't know how to get home. You wouldn't know who your wife is. You wouldn't know who you are. We are our memory. That's where our learning, our habits, everything that we've processed information. Our conscious mind accesses our subconscious mind for all the experiences and things that we've learned. Okay, that's tied to our emotions and our feelings. That's where our feelings are. So God made us mind, will, and emotions. Are you with me? Just follow the train of thought, okay? Now, our body is the third part of this, and nothing comes into our spirit or our soul unless it comes in through the windows of the soul, which are our senses. If we didn't have our senses, nothing could get inside, okay? Taste, touch, smell, hear, see, okay? So, how do we process what comes at us and to us, okay? See that lightning strike up there? That's a negative thing that's happening. And here it comes. It's coming into our conscious mind. We're bouncing around in our memory, and it goes into our emotions. That is a process that you can't change. This is just how it works. Something comes at us. We see something, and all of a sudden, okay, we start processing it. It comes into our conscious mind, and it bounces off of all our memory to say, okay, what, did I experience anything like that before? And then it goes into our emotions, and guess what happens to our emotions? Boom. Do you know the majority of people live out of their emotions? And and I can too sometimes, but I don't want to. Okay? Because when our emotions are real, they hurt. They get excited. They get angry. Okay? Many people live out of their emotions. When we live out of our emotions, we're living in the flesh, the old man. Ooh. We're going to run out of time. You were taught that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful desires. You see, it's what I want, I want, I want, I want. Those are my deceitful desires. Okay, and so I try to please them, and I go after it that way. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, the feelings, the emotions, the anger, the rage, the malice, the slander. See, you got to get rid of you can't live out of your emotions. But that's our default. You know anybody that lives out of their emotions? You aren't married to one, are you? Your wife's not married to one, is she? Okay. This is the way it works. Our feelings dominate us. People and circumstances control us. You see, that's what happens. Our feelings dominate. And then we are swayed with every wind of doctrine. Because when something happens over here, we're going, oh! And something happens over here, oh, yeah! And we get all excited. You see, our emotions dominate us. And people dominate us. I have a family member who lives from crisis to crisis. If there isn't one, she creates one because that's how she lives. Okay. We attract and are attracted to unhealed people. We rebels find themselves. Hurt people find themselves. Hurt people hurt people. And hurt people find themselves. Delightful people find themselves. Okay. What kind of people should we be? We should be rejoicing in the Lord. We should be walking steadfast, and then we're going to find those kind of people. Bad communications, evil communications corrupt good manners. You hang with wrong people, you're going to be like that. Okay. You never told your children that, did you? I didn't think so. Okay, we have a spirit of anxiety. Okay, these people do what they do because of what they feel. They're controlled by their emotions. If you say, "I can't understand why they're acting that way," it's because that's the way they feel. Now, this generation listens with its eyes and thinks with its feelings. Ravi Zacharias. Wow. Okay. That's what's happening around us today. People are living out of their emotions. Are you with me? Okay. We can harden repressing our emotions functioning out of our will. This is the conservative Anabaptist mindset. Okay. We're going to be looking at a model here. We looked at another model where emotions take over. Here's what happens in the conservative Anabaptist world. We say, you shouldn't feel that way. Let's see. What's that expression again? Lay your feelings down. Lay your feelings aside. No, no, no. That's not biblical either. Okay. Here's the way we can have a tendency to do it. Here it comes, and we don't let it in our emotions. Boom, we grab it we pull it over into our will. And so we go, okay, and look at that. Do you see that negative thing? Watch it. Watch it shrink. By the force of our will, we can turn something ugly and we can tear it into something less ugly. And our emotions are denied. We have an unbroken will, and we have a broken spirit. I'm just telling you, I see this a lot in our people, because we tell people, you shouldn't tell your children you shouldn't feel that way. You should help them deal with their emotions. If you tell them they shouldn't feel that way, you tell your wife she shouldn't feel that way, you're going to have one angry woman on your hands. You're going to get ticked, too, if she says you shouldn't feel that way, okay? It's just the way we are. We have feelings. So how does God intend for us to process what comes to us and at us? Here. He anointed us. He put his seal of ownership on us, putting his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So, what does he want us to do? He wants us to live out of his spirit, because his spirit is already in our hearts. So, what does this look like? Here it comes. Negative thing, same negative thing. Here it comes. Bounces around, goes into our emotions. Look at our emotions. Oh, you see, our emotions will respond. We will get angry. We will get frustrated. We will get happy. But we don't want those emotions to go boom. Because did you know what happened when those emotions went like this? Our emotions, if you remember that, it covered our mind, it covered our spirit, and it controlled our will. You see, then our emotions tell us what to do. And now our will functions out of what our emotions and how we're feeling. And God says, no, no, no. So he wants our emotions to respond. We will. He made us with emotions. That's okay. But what he wants us to do is he bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Did you see that? It's in our emotions. He does not want us to leave the things, our feelings and that experience, those thoughts, to stay in our emotions, because if we let them sit there, and you know something? You're going to have to take those things captive over and over again. The same thing. OK, Okay, you'll take a captive this moment, and after a while you're going to, there she is again. Get back here. Okay, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, if Christ is dwelling in you, you can ask Jesus, what would you do with this? Holy Spirit of truth, you dwell within me. You are part of me. Holy Spirit of truth, Jesus, Father, what would you want me to do? And you will know. You will know because your spirit, his spirit will bear witness with your spirit. But you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit. If you don't ask this question, Jesus, what would you want me to do with this? You see, then what happens next is we'll look at the spirit growing. If you exercise your spirit will grow. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? The spirit of your mind. And here he says, the mind set on the flesh is death. We looked at this before. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Now look what happened. That negative thing, we can take something negative and we can turn it into a positive. All things work together for good to those who love God. It doesn't say everything is good. It says all things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so, no, it might not, maybe the smile face will be, okay. But anyway, you see our mindset, and now look what's happening. You see, when you live out of your spirit, now look what's happening. The spirit is controlling our mind, our will, and our emotions. Got it? This is how God wants us to function, out of his spirit. His spirit dwells in our spirit. When we access his spirit, now, instead of our emotions controlling us, our spirit controls our mind, will, and emotions. And now there is harmony. I pray, God, that the God of peace would preserve you wholly. Spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit is guiding us, then the spirit, soul, and body will function together as a unit. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Now look what happens. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of him who created him. It says, be clothed in Christ. You put on Christ. You must. That's something he's asking us to do. We must access him. We must put it on. Now look what it says. Look there. It says we have a broken will, but we have an unbroken spirit. If you have a horse and the horse is not broken, can you use that horse very well? No, that horse is going to create problems. But you want to break its will, but you want it to have an unbroken spirit. If you have a broken spirit horse and an unbroken will, you got a dangerous horse on your hands. You want that horse to have healthy emotions, right? Now, you can love your enemies. Now, look what's coming here. This is something really fascinating. You see, it's only when we do this, put on the new self, when we live by the Spirit, only then can we love our enemies. Who's saying this? This is Jesus. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. You see, you can't do this out of the flesh. You cannot do this out of the flesh. I have good people, conservative people say, I can't forgive them. It's because you're not living out of the Spirit. Because your heart hasn't been healed. Jesus wants to heal your heart. Bless those who curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Ooh. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. We talked about this before. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, behold what manner of love it is that you can be called the children of God. That word is technos. I am the technos of Lloyd and Lena Reed. I am their child. I am my dad's son. We were to a reunion last fall. Okay, that is not this word. This word here is weos. This means, and out of three boys, I'm the one who actually looks like my dad. I talk like him, I act like him, I walk like him. And so when we go to a reunion, they say, you really remind us of Lloyd. Okay, here, when you love your enemies, when you bless those who curse you, when you do good to them that hate you, when you pray for them who despitefully use you, now you act like your daddy. You walk like your daddy. You talk like your daddy in heaven. Because you're living out of the Holy Spirit. You're living out of the Father who lives within you. You with me? Men, can we walk in the Spirit? You see, when we do that, our homes will change, our churches will change, our community can change, because they will see Jesus in us. They will see Jesus in us. They will see the Holy Spirit in us. They'll see the Father in us. When the prodigal son came back, if he would have ran into the elder brother before he got to Father, he probably would have went back and fed pigs again. Who did the people run into when they see you? Do they run into elder brother or do they see Father? You with me? Spiritual maturity is living life from the Spirit, saying yes to God at every turn and place in your life. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use, you got to do this every day. You got to do this multiple times a day. You got to do this every hour. The only problem here is people tell me I have the wrong color tractor. Okay. You see, if you drove a tractor, you drive a tractor and you have three wagons, four wagons, but if you have two wagons, the back wagon's going to go where the front drives. But you see, if the soul, if your emotions are in control of that, your spirit's going to go along for the ride. If your body, if you're driven by sensual desire and lust, then your spirit and soul are going to go along for the ride. You got it? The spirit has to be the power. When the spirit's the power, your soul and your body will follow. Are you with me? Spirit of power and love and of a sound mind, the power of choice. Power of choice. Father, help us to choose to live by your Spirit. Thank you for giving us the power from on high. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you for coming and dwelling in us, that we can have you, the fullness, your fullness dwelling within us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Nelson's coming front shortly here, but how about if we just open it up for discussion? I'm going to let you man that, but if there's any comments, if there's any questions, let's go. Go ahead. Come on up front and you MC.
Jason, I can get excited with you also.